As we mentioned, author Linda Haas getting ready to join us. She's written quite a piece. It's called Hidden History of Jackson County. Now, we just, Linda, of course, was a long time at the Jackson Citizen Pat, or Citizen Patriot, if you prefer. And we talked to, we happened to have one of her editors on yesterday. Brian Wheeler was on the program. So we asked him about Linda, a long time. We have a former sit patter on tomorrow, Linda Haas, who has written a book about Jackson County. What can you tell me about Linda?
Once upon a time, I was an editor, I think features editor for the newspaper, and I read a lot of her work. I'll say this, as a writer, she's really good. She's really strong. You know, some writers, you have to clean up all sorts of typos and grammatical things.
Uh-huh.
Linda gave you a clean copy, good copy, and she's a good storyteller, too. So I'm happy you're going to have her on.
Well, there you go, Linda. Thumbs up from Brian Wheeler. Linda, where did you go?
I am right here. I'm just kind of blown away. How wonderful. What an awesome and unexpected and very positive vote of confidence. I appreciate it. And I'd like to think that this book, The Hidden History of Jackson County, does represent that as well. It was a real pleasure to write and a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I think anybody in the history, and you think you know what has gone on around here, needs to get a copy of this book. I think you did an incredible job.
Thank you. I think one of the things that I really wanted to focus on were what I call the bypassed or long forgotten stories. You know, just about all kinds of people, places, and events in the county. It's filled also with vintage photos and postcards and sketches. Just to give you a flavor, several of the stories explore Jackson abolitionists, you know, use their barns and their houses and their hidden compartments to harbor freedom seekers traveling on the Underground Railroad. And one story talks about a Norval Township farmer who even repelled an armed posse from Kentucky in 1847. I tell you, don't mess with our farmers. You know, there's some somber stories about a one is a prominent druggist who murdered his mother and a jail guard. There's some lighthearted stories. One chapter talks about First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt's visit to Browns Lake. She came looking for rest and relaxation, but we'll just say that a media mob had other plans, and I just talk about the hilarious way that whole thing unfolds. And there's a touch of mystery. There's some talk of ghost towns as well as a Blackman Township roadhouse that had a longstanding tradition of entertaining stagecoach drivers, mobsters, and a few ghosts. And I do talk about that, too. So, you know, the concept is that headlines and official history only tell part of the story. There's hundreds of noteworthy stories that have never been told or some that deserve a fresh look. So I wanted to give a representative sampling of interesting and unusual stories covering the city and all 19 of our county's townships, from Blackman to Waterloo.
Yeah, you so go right through the, there's a story really just for just about every township here. You go right through it, and it's
exactly,
it's pretty interesting.
Thanks. Yeah, I think so.
Now, you're a former newspaper lady right off the bat. Well, who knew we had the kind of newspaper wars here?
Oh, I know. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I guess that's true with anything, even businesses. You know, there's competitors that want to get a competitive edge over the other guy selling news. But, yep, we had some newspaper wars. We just had a lot. I was surprised by a lot of things. Mostly I was surprised by seemingly random events or coincidences that led to substantial consequences. You know, like in 1854, there was a small group of businessmen that just happened to form a young men's association that offered a reading room. Had a few newspapers, a few magazines. They had no idea that simple beginning would lead to a public institution known as the Jackson District Library that today circulates, you know, over 1 million items throughout 13 branches in the county. there's just so many coincidences like that that end up, you know, being a backbone of what Jackson is all about.
You have a picture of St. John's Church in there from, I think it's 1857, that it's just strikingly familiar.
Oh, I know. Back in the day, I think it shows a gravel road in front of it and a horse and a carriage. And that is one of the many vintage postcards. Thanks so much to the Jackson District Library's postcard archive. It's got postcards from way back when that just show another slice of Jackson. You can recognize it, but it's still different. You know, you speak of churches. There's another interesting coincidence. It's the arrival of a former enslaved American from the South in 1865. One of the first things he did was establish a worship service in his home. And that tiny seed of faith, a seemingly random event, led to the formation of the Second Missionary Baptist Church in Jackson, which today is 155 years old and still holds services.
Wow.
Yeah, just some of the coincidences that that started a chain and a cause effect that helped to make Jackson what it is today.
How long did you work on this book? Because there's so much packed into it, Linda.
Well, you know, I began my research for this book in the early 2019. So from start to finish, it's been about a year and a half.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep. It's taken me to archives, libraries, you know, from the Jackson District Library to the Bentley Historical Library at U of M. I've also done a lot of field research, including cemeteries. And, you know, I have to give my husband credit. When it comes to cemeteries, this man has an uncanny ability to locate obscure tombstones. And I've been to some interesting places and done a lot of interesting field research.
Yeah, I know you found the Charles DeLand resting place.
You know, yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Here was a guy whose family pretty much founded Jackson, who was a Civil War hero, two-time state senator. He was part of the newspaper wars that you referred to early. You know, so much of Jackson is bound up in the DeLand family. Many of their descendants of whom still live in Jackson today. And he had such a simple grave and nothing commemorating his Civil War service. And I was amazed at the generosity of, it was Lansing Greater Monuments. I asked if they'd be willing to donate a military marker, and to my amazement, they said yes. So that is decorating his grave as well.
Wow.
As is fitting for a veteran.
What did you find out about the Cascades?
Well, you know, we think of the Cascades as a kind of as all American, as maybe apple pie, and just, you know, everything totally American, right on down to the fact that it's in a park with families, you know, picnic there and everything. You know, I found out that it actually had a very exotic inspiration. When Captain Cappy Sparks, was touring with the Zouaves in Europe, I believe it was Spain, but I'm not sure. It was one of the Western European countries. Had a fountain, lighted fountain, just a series of fountains, and he was so amazed by it that when he came back to Jackson, he used that as his point of inspiration for wanting to recreate something in Jackson. And that spark of inspiration, I think it was near Barcelona, Spain, ended up becoming what we know today as the Cascades. And so I guess what I found there was that it had a more exotic inspiration than maybe anybody knew.
Yeah, a building, I guess, with great history is the old Amtrak station here in town.
Absolutely. It was built in 1874, but really our first train depot was in 1841, just 250 feet to the west at the end of Columbus Street. And it was a wooden building where actually two Underground Railroad escapes were made, ironically, in the Above Ground Railroad at the depot there. And then Jackson became such a railroad hub in the 1870s that we built a grand a central railroad station that we know today as the Amtrak station in 1874.
You wrote a piece, a section on the Hankard property.
Yeah.
That was back in the late 1800s. That was,
right.
I think it was revitalized by
Janet Rochefort.
Yeah, Janet Rochefort.
Yep, she's turned it into a resort now. I think of it as a bed and breakfast, but she tells me it's more of a resort. And just the whole history there started by Irish immigrant Patrick Hankard, who hankered for something more than Ireland at that time. Was going through a potato blight, and he came to the United States, to Michigan, and then to Jackson, and started this home. He loved to entertain, had a real big spirit of hospitality, built a resort big enough to entertain. One thing led to another. His son Michael inherited it, and that house stands today and is part of the Hankard bed and breakfast, or actually Hankard Resort, that Janet Rochefort has remodeled and restored. It has a wonderful history behind it, a lot of hospitality.
How about the Hague Park had a roller coaster?
Oh, yes.
Now, was that at Vandercook Lake?
Yes, yes, it was. In
okay.
fact, there's a cement piling. One of the remnants of that park exists today as a cement piling. And there was a Jack the Rabbit roller coaster, which was a huge hit. It drew people actually from around Michigan to Hague Park. It had Ferris wheel. Oh, my goodness. It had just about everything you could think of. It was a huge amusement park with electric trains going back, trolleys going back and forth, bringing folks from the city to the to Hague Park. It was just a real big thing in Jackson.
Yeah.
And a lot of postcards about that. You know, I've been to some interesting places. I want to tell you about the most interesting place that I've been, if
yeah.
I may. It was Rives Township. Rives Township has a metal marker that commemorates one of two starting points for every one of Michigan's boundaries. And this marker was special because it was established in 1815 when the government hired surveyors to plot the Midwest. And this was their starting point in Michigan, Rives. And just finding that marker was an adventure. My husband and I went to a park called the Meridian Baseline State Park in Rives Township, which straddles Jackson and Ingham counties. And then we followed this foot trail through a forest, a prairie, and a swampy area until we found this blown metal marker out in the middle of nowhere. And from that very point, surveyors established a series of lines that plotted every boundary in Michigan. But it was an adventure in the boonies just trying to get there. It was fun.
Wow. Yeah, you've got a lot about the lake. So, was there anything about Pleasant Lake that used to be kind of a party capital?
It was, you know, and there was so much. There's so much I wished I could have covered. This book really is just a representative sampling, not comprehensive, but certainly the Hankard Resort in Pleasant Lake was. I guess that was the one feature that I wanted to focus on. But it was a huge resort area, and probably still is. I think they had speedboat races at one time.
Yeah.
That was also very popular. I wanted to talk about that, but I didn't have room for everything. But it was just fun kind of exploring.
What about Browns Lake?
Ah, Browns Lake. That is where Eleanor Roosevelt came to visit, and just on the other side of Vandercook Lake. Vandercook and Browns Lake together have quite a history. Vandercook maybe more so because it was more of a public lake and had the Hague Park. But one of Browns Lake's claims to fame was this visit by Eleanor Roosevelt for this private, quiet, secluded visit with her brother's connections, the Marsh family, who still own land here and have cottages here. And she was quite sure no one was going to see her. You know, it's going to be rest and relaxation. And our wonderful Jackson Citizen Patriot, which doesn't miss a beat, discovered that she was staying here, and it was just a media circus. She ended up being photographed in her shorts, which I guess was quite unconventional.
Well, did they send Sandy Petakovich over to cover that?
Oh, I think it was before Sandy's time. But here's the interesting twist to that story. Because there were reporters kind of peeping from behind every nook and cranny and rocks and trees, she realized she wasn't alone. She's no dummy. So she kind of went to the refrigerator to take stock of what provisions she had on hand. She had some bread. She had some cucumbers. And by golly, she made cucumber sandwiches, walked out with a tray and said, okay, I know you're out there, everyone. Come out from behind your trees. Here, have some sandwiches. And the press kind of came out, and they all had a little lunch together and marveled at her generosity. And it was one of the more interesting stories of Browns Lake.
Nothing like a cucumber sandwich on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. It's a cucumber and cheese sandwich. So she, ooh, you know, she used whatever supply she had on hand.
Yeah, quickly, Linda, anything on the prison that stood out to you?
Yes. Well, you know, I have a little sidebar just on the prison, but I talk about Irving Latimer, one of the prison's inmates there, and his kind of sad tale of murder and intrigue in Jackson was something that I explore a little more in the book. I don't know how much time you have, but I try to look at features more than institutions and interesting people and places. And Irving Latimer was certainly one of the prison's more interesting convicts.
Well, again, the book really, it travels through Jackson County and all the townships. And then you have fun facts sprinkled in through here. It's anybody into Jackson or history at all. They need a copy of this. How do they get it?
Well, thank you for asking. The best place to buy the book is the Book Cottage on 4500 Francis Street in Vandekook. It's right at the intersection of Badgley, Hinckley, and Francis. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're hosting a book signing event October 10 between 1 and 3.
Oh, wow.
But buyers can also order it online from the publisher. You just type in Hidden History of Jackson County, Arcadia, and that will take you to the website, but then you have to pay shipping and handling. So the Book Cottage is the best bet.
Linda, great job with the book. A fantastic read, and we'll probably get in touch with you before your book signing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to tell folks about it, and I wish everyone a awesome Thursday.
Thanks, Linda. Linda Haas, a long time with the SitPat. Hidden History of Jackson County, Michigan.